Your Bibles turn to the Gospel of Luke as we continue our series on the parables of Jesus. Jesus, the consummate teacher, illustrated his messages with poignant lessons, sometimes very clear, sometimes the meanings were difficult to see, but to his people, to them, it was given to know the meanings of these things. And to others, it was that they might hear these words, but they would not really hear from the heart. So which group are you in? Those who are given the meanings of these parables that you may live more and more unto the Lord, or do you hear but not hear? I pray that you be hearers of the word, and we will see the importance of being doers as well. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to begin at verse 46. Let me pray. Father, your words are words of life, and we thank you for them. We thank you for the inspiration of your Spirit, taking men, carrying them along, giving them, Father, your word, that word might be given to us. We thank you, Father, for that concursive work. You used them as they were created, their temperaments, their personalities, their education. And through these men, holy men, carried along by your Spirit, O Lord, you gave to us your holy word. And ultimately, it was you, Lord Jesus. In these last days, God has chosen to speak through you, and you, by your Spirit, through these men, have given us your teaching. So help us, Lord, to understand. Help me to preach clearly. And Father, where there is conviction of sin, may it come. And Father, where there is true conviction of sin, may there be true repentance. So help us, God. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Verse 46, Luke 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed. And destruction, its destruction was complete. Beloved, the word of God, thanks be to God. Amen. It was a commercial construction project, low rent housing for seniors and the disabled. The builder would, after building them, rent them out for a couple of years and then sell them just as problems with the construction were beginning. I was a lowly construction laborer from finishing the digging in the footer, the ditch for the foundation, to getting the lumber, to getting whatever else the skilled labor needed. That was my job. One of our buildings, these were commercial buildings, was the footer was being dug by the backhoe, and as the operator was digging the footer to the foundation, all of a sudden water came gushing into the ditch, and we're not talking about a few inches, we're talking about several feet of water. Well, that was one ditch I certainly wasn't going down in, and for a half a day, the operator began to dig and dig until he thought that he felt something solid. The owner of the building was consulted. He came on the job and said, just pour the concrete as is. Well, they poured the concrete, it hardened. You can harden concrete underwater. The water dissipated, and they began to build on that foundation. They were building three-story residences, apartments, again, for low rent and the disabled. By the time they got to the third floor, after they put the drywall up, cracks began to appear. The drywall was tearing in half. The mortar joints and the cinder block and the bricks were cracking and falling out. The building was sinking because the foundation was not a sure foundation. Hastily, they made repairs, That might have been a building that he sold right away because he didn't want to deal with the problems that would show up, no doubt, later on. The image and the lesson in this parable is clear, not difficult to understand. Two men built houses. One built, digging deeply to the bedrock. He built on that foundation. The other did not. A flood was unleashed somehow, and the torrent beat against the one house but could not tear it down because it was resting on a sure foundation. The other could not withstand the flood, and it was completely destroyed. Now, you know, Jesus gave a similar parable in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. It's recorded for us. There, the torrent was because of the rains that came, and the house that was just built on the ground, well, the ground was sand. And again, the same result. One building remained standing. The other was destroyed completely. But Jesus isn't talking about building houses, is he? He's talking about building a life, building our lives and settling them on the solid foundation, building them on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation. Well, to build on the rock, on the foundation of Jesus, is to hear, to grasp and understand his word, and then to obey his word. You get that? Building on the foundation is to build it by faith in Christ, hearing, understanding his word, and obeying his word. Putting Jesus' words into practice is to build your life on a solid foundation. What does the practice of your life reveal? Does it reveal the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock? Or is it a life of hearing the word? Maybe even loving to hear the word, but not doing the word. Such a life, what did Jesus say? Such a life will be completely destroyed when the pressures, when the torrents of life come against us. Well, let's consider the foolish builder, the one who built his house just on the ground without digging a foundation. Maybe it was cheaper that way, you know. I'm sure, though, that, you know, the people hearing that story were shaking their heads thinking that man's a fool. But I want you to notice what precipitates Jesus giving this parable. He asks a question, and it's a question that ought to make us all pause and think and even shudder when we examine our lives. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? What a question. What a powerful question. You know, am I doing what Jesus says? Am I learning about what Jesus says? If I don't take the time to hear what Jesus says, how can I know what I'm supposed to be doing? Jesus illustrates what the life of the person who is like, who is just a hearer of the word, not a doer. It's like the man who builds a structure on the ground with no footing, no foundation. Why would a person do that? Again, the hearers must have been shaking their heads thinking, that man's a fool. Again, Jesus isn't talking about building houses, but building lives. The man, the person who builds his life believing he's in Christ, loving Christ, so he says, but doesn't do what Christ teaches, is just like that fool building a house on the sand. One commentator I read, he went to great lengths, as preachers are known to do, in his illustrations. You know, he talked about traveling throughout the world and being on a boat, rocking in the ship, and coming into the harbor of New York City and looking at the substantial buildings and the magnificent structures that rise into the sky. And then he talked about the city of Venice. You know, both are port cities. Both are centers of commerce and finance. You know, but Manhattan, that's a pretty solid foundation. Especially after 9/11, when they finally cleared all the rubble, you see how deeply they dug. And having dug deeply, they dug even deeper and basically had concrete columns on which that those buildings stood. And there, I remember being interested in wanting to know more about Venice, watching a James Bond movie where they had not a car chase, but they had a boat chase through the streets, the so-called watery streets of Venice. And, of course, I do this when I watch movies. I'll put it on pause, and then I'll go to Google Earth, you know, and see what's Venice look like from the satellite view there. And I'm thinking, man, how unsubstantial is the city of Venice? And, in fact, in the movie, one of the city buildings just sunk right in. There's no foundation. And then the commentator makes his point. The structures in Venice are magnificent, beautiful buildings. Many people are like that. Their lives present a magnificent display. You know, the people that you gravitate to, they're attractive in some way or another, maybe physically. And maybe they're very gifted people, talented in one way or another. Maybe they have money and they can speak well and they seem to be kind and gracious. They're the object of admiration for many, but they do not have the foundation of the practice of following Christ's teaching. Spurgeon, in his sermon on this parable, listen to this. I thought this was excellent. He speaks of talk without practice as a temptation. And this is a temptation for Christians, professing Christians. Listen to this. The common temptation is, instead of really repenting, to talk about repentance. Instead of heartily believing, to say, I believe, without believing. Instead of truly loving, to talk of love without loving. Instead of coming to Christ, to speak about coming to Christ, to profess to come to Christ, and yet not to come at all. I wonder, are there any here today in this congregation who are like that? What of you? Is it all talk but no practice? You'll find out what their talk is like when they are outside of the circle of the congregation. And they're in the public. What's their talk like then? Like the rest of the world around them. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved with people outside of the congregation. We should be. But is it evident that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior by what you say and by what you do? The Apostle James gives us a glimpse of the one who is just a hearer of the word. Now, the person who hears but not doing. He says that such a person is deceived. In other words, the lesson is clear, but the person who hears the word and doesn't do it is lying to himself. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, listen to this. He's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. Imagine that. You forget what you look like. Well, God's word is like a mirror that is held up to our souls. God's word reveals the natural heart, the natural man, which is, from God's perspective, ugly, wicked, foolish, sinful. So, to have the word of God, to hear it like a mirror to the soul, and seeing that ugliness, but to go away and forget that that's what we look like within, how foolish is that? On the day of the Lord, when the Lord comes, for all your crying out, Lord, Lord, if there's been no change within the heart, you'll be utterly destroyed. That's what Jesus teaches here. The one who doesn't build on the foundation of Christ, his word, and practice of it. So now let's look at the wise builder. Verse 47, I'll show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man who builds a house who dug deeply down to lay the foundation on a rock. You know, the scripture speaks of our lives individually and corporately as buildings. You see that? It's not just Jesus. The apostles follow up on that image of a foundation for a magnificent building. And what is the building that God is constructing individually and corporately? It's the temple in which he dwells. And such a magnificent building needs a solid foundation. We all, you know, we've seen the pictures of the Temple Mount, right? The Temple Mount on which now there is a mosque and not a temple. And people mistake those large stones in Jerusalem that people pray to. You see, they put little prayers in the crevices of those stones. That's the foundation. That's not what the temple, that's the foundation laid. So imagine if we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. The foundation has to be crucial for such a magnificent building. And what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3:11? For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. A solid foundation is just what Isaiah was speaking about. And when Isaiah gives this foundation, this image of the foundation that's going to be laid one day in Zion, he does so in contrast to those who he says have made a covenant with death and the grave. All right? These were people who honored God with their lips. In Isaiah's day, they honored God with what they said. Oh, Lord, Lord. But their hearts were far from him. They were idolaters. They were claiming to worship the true and the living God, but they made images and kept them in their homes and worshiped these as well. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. New Testament, using the Septuagint, the Greek translation from the Hebrew, says, whoever believes will not be put to shame. Verse 17 of Isaiah 28, and I will make justice the line, and righteousness the plumb line, and hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overwhelm the shelter. What is the lies? What is the shelter? Well, the lie and the shelter is, it's those who believe that by saying, I believe in the Lord, but by worshiping idols, have a sure refuge. What happens to them? They are washed away. They're swept away. The man who is righteous and just will not be in haste. What does that mean? You know, I thought about that. What does it mean that this man will not be in haste? Who are the people that are in haste? Why are they in a hurry? It's because there's something happening, something maybe even traumatic, some pressure of life, and they're going to and fro, not knowing just what to do. Because they haven't had the experience of putting into practice the Word of God. But the man who knows God and is established on the foundation of Christ and has heard his word and obeys the word, practices the word, that man is not in haste when pressures of life come. Why? Because he knows what he needs to do. Even if what he believes he needs to do is pray, because he's not so sure the exact thing to do, I know I can do this. Lord, help me. Father, here's the circumstances of my life right now. I don't know exactly what I should do, but I'm going to wait patiently, Father, and I believe that you'll help me. So God, help me. I need you. What a power. That might be the very needful thing at the moment. Instead, we do something, we try something foolish, and it doesn't work, and we try something else, and it doesn't work. We're in haste all the time, and we want to know why our lives are a mess. The Apostle Paul also, as he spoke of Christ being the sure foundation, in the book of Ephesians, which Dave has been leading us on in our study downstairs, Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 19, he's speaking to the Gentiles who now are part of God's household. He says, "So then, you," that is the Gentiles, "are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together, together, into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." And I like Peter. Peter even quotes that passage from Isaiah. Peter is challenging people to think of the salvation that God has provided for them through Christ. And he says, as you come to him, that is to Christ. This is 1 Peter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble. Why? Because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. So here, the scripture gives us the complete picture of the foundation. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No other foundation can be laid. And so we come to him. The call is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we to believe? Well, the foundation is also the apostles and prophets. Why are they seen as part of the foundation? Because it is through them that the Spirit gives to us the Word of God. So Christ and his Word and teaching are the foundation. And as we see in our bulletin, the writer to the Hebrews, he's dealing with people who are tempted to go back to those dead works of the law, the ritual law. They're tempted to go back because they're being persecuted in their lives. And so the writer says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. You see that? Those are basic teachings of the gospel of Christ, and they too are part of the foundation. And then the foundation is rounded out by the works that flow from those teachings. You heard a passage last week. We talked about being rich toward God, and Paul mentions in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. This is the last challenge he gives right before he closes this letter. And he says to young Timothy, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life." So the good, solid foundation is faith in Christ, understanding and growing in the knowledge of his word, and then putting them into practice. That's the sure foundation. The person who says, "Lord, Lord," but doesn't go beyond that, is a fool and really isn't settled on the foundation of Christ. And there are many people like that, and they can be very attractive. The real danger is this. We can, when we realize that we need to be better morally, We're going to have a moral standard, but we don't need Jesus. Well, that's a foolish person. And yet there are a lot of people like that. They believe that with their good deeds, and really what it boils down to a lot in this present day is, I'm not as bad as the other guy. They believe that being not as bad as the really wicked will bring them into the kingdom of heaven. And oh yeah, Jesus, he's just all right with me. I love him. He's good. That's not going to get you there. On the other hand, there are those who will say, oh, I have Jesus. I love him. But they have none of his teaching put into practice. Such is a foolish thing. In 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul, after having said that no other foundation can be laid, and I believe the context for this passage is important, especially for teachers and preachers and elders in the church. The foundation that we lay as leaders has to be Christ, his teaching, and the encouragement to put them into practice. The Apostle Paul says in verse 12 of chapter 3, now if anyone builds on the foundation, that is Christ, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will be become manifest, for the day, that is the day of judgment, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And I believe there are the references to the ultimate fire that destroys the present heavens and earth. Okay? If the work, okay, the fire will reveal, will test what sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. You know, you wonder what those rewards will be. God alone knows. God will reveal them. Don't be so concerned, but be concerned about what work. Don't worry about the reward. What work are you doing that amounts to gold and silver and precious stones? What is meant by the work that is wood, hay, and stubble that will be burned? If anyone's work is burned up, Paul says, he will suffer loss. And here's something that seems confusing. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So it seems that even Christians, true believers, can build foolishly on the foundation and suffer great loss, though not the loss of their souls. Thank God for that. So how do we know if what we're building on the foundation of Christ is true? It comes through knowing his word, knowing what he says. And it comes also from a careful examination of your own heart. And at times that is needed for, the need is for someone else, an elder, a wife, a husband, a friend, a trusted friend who's also a believer, to challenge us when they see sin, when they see that we're not living according to the words of Jesus. You know, in the illustration that I gave you of the terrible foundation that our contractor built in these low-rent housing apartments, one of the works that we did was to, as the foundation footer is being dug, you know, after a while, they'd get down a little deeper, and the backhoe operator just didn't take that shovel and go down. He began to get very careful with it, because if he went down and hit the bedrock, it just might break one of the teeth on his bucket. And so he didn't want to do that. So that was the job of the laborer. We had to go down into the ditch, and as the shovel would bring out dirt, you know, dirt and debris from the top would fall in. Well, we had to shovel that stuff out. And then we had to let the backhoe operator know that they were close to the bedrock. How you take the shovel and you pound it on the ground. And when you hear that sound, you know, the metal hitting the rock. And we had a great backhoe operator. I'll tell you, he was great. He would get that bucket down and he would get it to within an inch or two of the bedrock. And then we had to clean it off. And that's only when you began to pour the foundation, the concrete on which the blocks and the bricks would be laid. You know what? Dirt and debris falls into our foundation as well. And we need to do the labor of removing it. And that comes with things like we have for you this evening. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper next week, when we have the preparatory service. That's when we begin to look and examine our hearts to see what dirt and debris has fallen in on our foundation. And so our practice of confession is like taking that shovel and getting that stuff off the foundation that has been laid, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we continue to build on the foundation. We build gold, silver, precious stones. And we go back after confessing our sins, and we do those things that Christ calls us to do. Get this, to love even your enemy. That's a teaching from Christ. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus says. We have a long way to go. Some of us need the backhoe to clear out clumps and mounds of dirt before foundation is clear. And we all need to be shoveling. So let's do it, beloved. Let's do it. That we might realize we are a spiritual temple in which Christ dwells. Not just each of us individually, but corporately. And I love the picture that Peter gives. Living stones built one upon another, indicating that we are dependent upon each other. Think about that. You need the other people gathered here in this room. We need the believers who are in other churches gathering to worship this day around the world. So help us, Lord, to continue to build. Father, we thank you for these words to us this morning. We thank you for the promise of the solid foundation with Jesus, the chief cornerstone. We pray, Father, that he would not be the stone of stumbling for us, but that indeed we would build upon this precious foundation of his word and the works that come, Father, by faith and by the power of your Spirit. So help us, God, to do those things that we need to do, to clear the footer, the foundation. And Lord, we pray that we would do this for your glory. So humble us. Give us grace. Enable us so to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now you